So if you've not been here, some of you haven't, we've been going through a bit of a series from Romans chapter 12. We've been talking about using God's gifts for his glory. Amen? You know, God gifts us with so many things. And our call is to use them to glorify him, to advance his kingdom. And we've been talking about that gift of the Spirit that God puts in us. We know that God created us with a physical body, that's your flesh. If you have flesh, you can give yourself a pinch to see if you're here, right? That's your flesh. He's given you a soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions. And God has given you a spirit, which is created after his image. And that spirit comes from him. Amen? And though this world may want to tell us that we were just an accident, that we're a bunch of cells that just kind of came together and we're now human, right? Or a big bang happened and we were just created, we know that God created us and fashioned us in his image. Amen? And in a moment, we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 12, verse 7. And we're learning how to use the gifts that God has given us for his glory. And what we've been doing through this study is we've been looking at those motivational gifts in Romans chapter 12. And we're trying to discover, for some of us, why do we do the things that we do, right? What moves us, what motivates us, what drives us, what directs us? Why do we do the things that we do, and why are we who we are? And I'm so thankful that God has created all of us in his image. And most of us have walked through a portion of our lives living life for me and what satisfies me and what satisfies my flesh. But when we recognize that God created us for a purpose and we start living out that purpose, Dylan and Victor, man, there's victory in life. Amen? And so today we're looking at the gift of the teacher. But before we get started, let me just make another statement as a longer introduction. As we go through and we talk about the teacher, I want you to pay extra attention today. Because as I share with you the gift of teacher, what I want you to do is be careful, because you might become a little distracted. Some of you are easily distracted, right, Dave? Some of you come a little bit confused, right? Because the gift of the teacher may not be exactly what you expect it to be. Amen? And again, the gift of the teacher is a gift that God has given us as a church. God has given us as for his body. And you know, I've worked with many churches over the years, either directly or indirectly, and one of the things I found that perhaps this is the gift that churches have the least of. So we've been talking about the prophetic gift. We talked about last week the gift of serving, and today the gift of teaching. And I think this is, from my experience, the gift that the church has the least of. And that's okay, because that's just how God levels it all out, right? It takes all kinds. Amen? And, you know, teachers are probably hard to get along with sometimes. I'll be up front. Those of you who know me well, know me well, know I can be hard to get along with sometimes. And it takes all kinds of people to make up the body of Christ. And for some of those people, you have that gift of teacher. So let's look at Romans chapter 12. We're going to read verses 4 through 7. It says, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individual members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that God has..." I'll get there again. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, we looked at that word last week, serving, let us use it in our ministering or our serving. He who teaches in teaching. So as we get to the gift of teacher today, let me correct some of the common misconceptions that many people have when they think of teachers, right? Some people have this idea, in order to teach, God must gift me with the gift of teaching. And I don't believe that's so. You don't have to have the gift of a teacher in order to teach, any more than you have to have the gift of a giver to be able to give, right? We're all called to give. We talked last week, we're all called to serve, right? You're all called to teach in one way or another. There are people in the world that God has uniquely gifted to give, but we're still all commanded to give faithfully in our tithes, in our offerings. And you don't have to have the gift of being a giver in order to give, and you don't have to have the gift of being a teacher in order to teach. Amen? You with me? You don't have to have the gift of a teacher to teach any more than you have to have the gift of evangelist, as we see in Ephesians chapter 4, to share Christ. We are all called to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? The gift of the evangelist, as we see in Ephesians 4, has a supernatural gifting to share people, the gospel with people, but we're all called to do that. There are things that God has given to his church. We talked last week and we looked in 1 Corinthians where it says, you know, some of us are the eye, some of us are the ear, some of us are the foot, some of us, unfortunately, are the armpit, right? We need all the parts of the body to function as God calls us to. But there are those who have this gift of the teacher, and they have this unique ability not just to teach, but to research, to investigate, to dig through things and understand how it applies to the things of God. And the people who have this gift of the teacher, normally, I'm not saying, and when I make statements like this, I want you to know that it's not all or nothing, right? Normally, they don't make a very good children's teacher, right? Because people that have the gift of the teacher love to dig in and they like to dissect the word and they like to investigate and they like to understand, they like to research, and they have charts and graphs and they can explain it all to you. And really, kids don't really care about that, right? They care about fun, songs, and candy, right? And teachers with a spirit of teaching want to dig into the word and know it in detail. There are those who have the ability to work with kids. My wife does an amazing job with kids. So those of you who brought your kids today, she'll do fine with them. They'll learn the word of God. They'll learn the presence of God. They'll learn to worship God. And she may not have the gift of a teacher, right? She has the gift of a server. She has the gift of mercy. She may have some other gift. But people who work with kids typically are not gifted as teachers. Again, the person with the gift of a teacher has the ability to dig, to research, to investigate. So again, just because if you're here today and you're like, yep, I like to dig, I like to research, I like to investigate, I'm a teacher, that means I don't have to serve. I'm a teacher, that means I shouldn't minister, I shouldn't bless people with giving. Or if you do not have the gift of a teacher, I want you not to walk away this morning saying, you know what, I'm not going to teach. I'm not going to tell people about Jesus. We can all serve in different areas. And when we look, as we looked at the beginning of this series at these gifts, you may have more than one of these that God has gifted you with. So let yourself flow. Don't put yourself in a box saying, I'm only a teacher, that's all I do is teach. Or I'm only a server, all I do is serve. Amen? So here's what I'm trying to say. In a nutshell, there is a place for everyone that's in this room, if you're part of this church or not part of this church, there is a place where all of you are called to contribute to the kingdom of God. Amen? There is a spot for all of you to fill. There is a ministry for all of you to fulfill so that you can use the gifts that God has given you, your being, your personality, everything that God has blessed you with, in that place for God's glory. Amen? And for the good of God's people. God gifts us not so we can go, look at me, look what I can do, look how I am. No, he gives you and gifts you so you can glorify him in different ways, serve him in different ways, right, and advance his kingdom. And I said this a few weeks ago, and I'll say it again. God is not looking for spectators, right? He's not looking for people just to come and sit back and watch the kingdom grow. He's looking for participants. He's looking for those who get up out of their seat on Sunday morning and go out and do the work in this community that he's called you to do. He's called us to step into this world and use the gifts, the talents, and the abilities that God has given you for his glory. That's the purpose. Not so you can just go, wow, look at all these great musicians and look at, you know, at all somebody who can heat water up in a tub and look at all this stuff. Somebody's taking care of my kids. He wants all of us to participate. Amen? And so that brings us this morning to the gift of the teacher. And we're going to begin to look at, first of all, if you've been here, the attributes of the gift. We're going to look at several things and primarily look at the gift of the teacher. But I want you to remember, we're going to spend most of our time on this point. So in about a half hour, when you're like, he's still on point number one, we should have brought lunch, we're going to be here all day, just be patient, we'll be finished soon, right? So first of all, let's look at the personality of the teacher. I want to show you these characteristics of one who has the gift of the teacher. Number one, they believe that truth is foundational. They believe that truth is foundational. And remember, a teacher believes that the discovery of truth, looking for that truth, finding that truth, is the foundation for everything that's important. Teachers want to establish truth in every situation. So if you're talking about a teacher in business, or you're talking about a teacher in education, or you're talking about a teacher in relationships, or a teacher in the church, they're going to want to find truth in whatever you're saying, right? They want to establish that truth. They believe that truth is important. And as believers, we believe that the truth is found in what? The Word of God. Amen? They're going to look. So you can come and Lori can come and tell me, well, I think this is what the Word of God says. My desire as a teacher is to dissect, to look at the Word of God, and to determine if that's true. Remember, the prophet, and we talked about the prophet a few weeks ago, wants to discover truth because they want to understand and perceive the will of God. So a prophet is still looking for truth and understanding truth, but their goal is to perceive what God is doing and the will of God. A server may want to study the Word of God, understand the Word of God, because they may want to know deeper how to meet needs of people in the right way. All of us should be dissecting the Word of God. If you're a teacher, a prophet, or a server, or any of the other gifts that we're going to be looking at, we should have that desire to be in the Word of God. Amen? I tell you that each week. Many times, teachers are really not people. Bear with me. You're like, well, how can you teach if you don't like people? I'm not saying you don't like people. And that's putting it nicely. They're really not people-oriented, right? They're more information-oriented. They're looking at gathering truth, pulling truth together, and portraying that truth. The teachers are the ones who believe that the discovery of truth is just as important as communicating the truth. You know, when I go home and I spend time in the Word, sometimes God will reveal something to me out of the Word, and I'm like, wow, that's amazing. And I may never get up and teach that for a long time. For me, it was more important understanding truth versus speaking truth. It's even more important in some ways to have that information discovered versus communicating that information. You know, so many times people or a teacher will shy away from anything that's not specifically grounded in Scripture. So if you're going to a teacher and you're like, you know, I believe the moon is here for this reason and it does this for that reason and whatever, I'm not going to make something up. And they're like, show me in Scripture where that's true. They want to see it grounded in Scripture. You know, as a pastor, I can always spot those in church who have that particular gift of a teacher. They're the ones that will come up to me after service, or they'll call me on Monday morning, or I'll get an email on Sunday afternoon saying, help me understand this point that you made. Explain that to me deeper. Where did you discover that? Show me some Scripture. I need to understand what you're talking about. They want to see the depth. They want to understand where that comes from. Teachers a lot of times don't just take words as the truth. They want to understand where that truth came from. The person who has the gift of the teacher, if they get in the flesh, and we'll talk more about this in a little bit, they can actually find themselves being disrespectful and challenging other believers. We have all seen that. They come across as being authoritative. Well, I know the Word of God says this, you're wrong, I interpret it this way, right? They come across as really saying, you're not applying that passage right. That's the way you ought to be applying it. You didn't interpret that verse right. And I encourage all of you, again, whatever I teach, to go home, spend time in the Word, dissect the Word, understand it for yourself. Don't take my word for it. And if you find, man, Joan says, Russ, you're taking that out of line. I would love it if Joan respectfully came and talked to me about it versus coming up to me after service saying, you idiot, you don't know what you're talking about, right? But people with that gift of the teacher, if we get in the flesh, we'll kind of cross that line. Again, a teacher is so driven to discover truth that they believe that the foundation of everything, of all Scripture, that it all belongs in Scripture, right? And as I told you over the series of this study, if you've been here, that we're always looking at someone in Scripture, someone in the Bible who illustrates the gifts that we're looking at. And so today, as we look at the gift of the teacher, I want us to learn about this gift through a man named Luke. Everybody know Luke? Luke wrote the book of Luke, right? And he wrote the book of Acts. He wrote two books. And we're going to see that we're going to look at Luke, and let me give you what I believe is probably one of the best illustrations of a teacher in Scripture that you could get. If you went and found a worldly textbook, it wouldn't give you such a good definition. And again, those of you who have this gift, you know that you're a teacher, you're going to love this verse because I'm going to Scripture for it, and I'm not just making things up for you, right? It comes from straight from the Word of God. So let's go to Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. It says, inasmuch as many have taken in hand, set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them to us. So what Luke is saying, he's saying, here it is, here this is, people have written about what I'm going to write about. Other people have put in pen to paper, and they've written about what I'm going to say. And he goes on to say, it seemed good to me, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed. So Luke says, having perfect understanding, and we'll talk about that in a moment, but that sounds like a teacher. A teacher wants to have perfect, clear understanding. Remember, we talked about how they're investigating, they're trying to find that knowledge. So Luke is saying, I know other people have written about this. I know other people have detailed what I'm about to detail for you. They've given you this information. I want you to know that I've done my homework. I want you to know that I've done my research. I've gathered all the information and want you to understand I have perfect understanding. Sounds like a teacher. We're going to get there in a moment. Number two, a teacher finds great joy in research and study. A teacher loves to study. Amen? They love to do research. A person with that gift would rather get a book or get the Word of God, understand, dig in the Word of God more than they would want to do anything else. You want to go to dinner? I asked Doug. Doug's like, no, I'm a teacher. I'm going to stay home. I want to learn out of the Word of God, right? Usually these people have a lot of books. You know anybody like that? Everywhere they go, they buy books. And they buy more books, right, Monica? And they buy more books. And they come home with bags of books. And their greatest joy is to look at all these books and flip through them and dissect the knowledge that they have in these books. What are you going to do with all those books? Well, I'm going to read them all, right? You're going to read every single one of them? Yep, I'm going to read them all, right? Doesn't matter how boring you think it is, I'm going to read these books because there's knowledge in these books. So if you have someone in your family or a friend and they can't go anywhere without buying books, if you have someone in your family or your friend that loves to read, they're always trying to discover the minutest details about things. If they love they may have this tendency to go, well, the Greek meaning of this word is this, and the Hebrew meaning is that, right? They love to play Scrabble. They love to do hard puzzles. They like to dissect, tear things apart. You have a teacher on your hands. Amen? That's the person who has the gift of the teacher. Excuse me. They love to research. They love to dig. They love to find information. It's interesting when you read what Luke wrote in the book of Acts. Again, he's writing to Theophilus again. He wrote Luke to Theophilus, and he's writing Acts to Theophilus. Look at verses 1 through 3. And he says, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after through the Holy Spirit had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by making infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Luke is saying, here it is. I've written it all out. I'm not leaving anything out. There are actually thorough people in this world. I don't know if you know that or not. There are thorough people alive in this world who will go over every detail of everything before they communicate it. They want to understand it. They want to know it. They want to know it in detail. They can't function unless they know it all. Do you know anybody like that? And they are vital. They're important to the church. The church needs to have people like that. Number three, a teacher presents truth in an organized, understandable manner. If you spend much time with anyone who has the gift of a teacher, you're going to find that they almost think and talk in outlines. Now, step one, Emily, about doing this is go do this. Then, Emily, go do that. Then, Emily, you will do this, right? That's a teacher mentality. You're talking to them, and all of a sudden, they say, this is your problem. Go do step one, step two, step three. They think and they operate, they organize their thoughts, so when they talk to you, it's always like, all right, here's what you need to do, right? We'll talk about how teachers sometimes are quiet because they're processing and thinking. And so a teacher will say, this is your problem, you need to do this, the Word of God says this, and they point out one, two, and three. They have the ability to put everything right where it ought to be. If you were talking to a person with the gift of exhortation, which we're going to talk about in a couple of weeks, the exhorter is the encourager, right? And the exhorter is that hooray person all right, Joan, you're struggling, hurrah, you can get through this, and they're cheering you on. And if you talk to a person who has the gift of the exhorter, you're going to love talking to them because they're going to tell you stories, and they're going to be smiling, and they're going to be happy, and they're going to be all positive. And when you walk away, you may not have any clue what they just told you, right? But you know you liked it because it felt good. And I'm not saying this is always the case. But then you talk to the one who has the gift of a teacher, and you're listening, and when you walk away, you've got a handful of notes. You've got some action items. You've got some things to apply to your life. You leave that conversation going through what it was that they taught and what they told you, and you're thinking, you know, this is good stuff. This I can use. This I can apply to my life. That exhorter, he just told me how happy I should be, right? But this teacher gave me all these steps and details. The teacher has that ability to organize information, put things together in such a way that you have the ability to understand and implement what they told you, right? Luke had this gift. Let's look again at Luke chapter 1, verse 3. It seemed good to me, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus. Luke is not like Paul, right? When you read the writings of Paul, Paul kind of goes from one thing to the next thing, and you're like, where did that transition happen? Luke is very orderly. When you read the book of Luke, those of you who know the book of Luke, or you read the book of Acts, what you will discover is as Luke writes, he puts things very together in a very systematic, organized way. He takes the line of Jesus, and he talks about the birth of Jesus, all the way through the resurrection of Jesus and the establishment of the church. And he does that in Luke 1 and then in Acts. He puts the life of Jesus together for us, and he gives us this very orderly, organized, understandable fashion, and gives us details that sometimes we don't see in the other Gospels. Luke is very detailed, and we'll give you an example in a moment. You know, when we're not far from Christmas, we're a couple months or a month from Christmas, when you want to read the Christmas story, where do you go to read the Christmas story? You go to Luke, typically, right? Because Luke does a very good job of explaining the Christmas story and the birth of Christ. That's Luke's ministry. That's Luke's gifting. Number four, a teacher measures everything against the truth. A teacher measures everything against the truth. Teachers are driven to investigate truth, right? They want to find truth. And they compare the things that are said and taught around them with what they know as truth. So if Josh comes up to me and he's teaching me something, my natural inclination as a teacher will be to compare that with truth, right? And we'll start, and he'll drive me stark raving crazy, right? And I'll drive him stark raving crazy because I'm going to ask him all these questions about where he got his information from. I will ask you as a teacher, or you will ask me as a teacher, a million questions. And it's not like I'm trying to be nosy. It's not like you're trying to be nosy, right? Or trying to be disrespectful. If something is stated, the teacher simply wants to know the basis of the truth that comes from. Amen? I love Josh, and I will spend time together periodically, right, Josh? It's been a while, one-on-one, and he'll be in the Word, and he's like, okay, I need to expound on this verse. And he pulls a verse out, and I'm like, you know, Josh, just have faith. You don't need to understand all those details, but I really got to understand, he says. He's got to figure it out. That's the gift of a teacher, and I love that in him. If something is stated, a teacher wants to know the basis of the truth, right? Let me explain to you why teachers are important in the church. It's not so you can be lazy and not read the Word of God. Amen? Well, I don't have to read the Bible because Pastor Russ is going to teach me on Sunday and I'll be good, right? It's to help keep our church doctrinally pure. It's to help keep the church in the Word. It's to help teach things that are in the Word of God. So we need teachers in the church. Teachers help keep the church focused because we're consistently consistent, right? We're supposed to be. And we're supposed to bring you back to the Word of God. You know, it made me think of the people of Berea. They had teachers' hearts, right? If we look at Acts 17, it says this: they were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness, and they searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were true, whether these things were so. They would go, they would hear the word, they would go home themselves, dissect the word, understand what the word is saying and apply that to their lives. They wanted to know, what does the Bible say? What does the word of God say? And so as a result of this, I'll give you a warning here. People with the gift of teaching sometimes, and I'm not saying always, sometimes have problems walking in faith. And this will make sense in a moment. It can be hard for them because everything is black and white. Show me in the Word where it's true. Show me in the Word where it's not true. They like to see everything written. They like to see everything explained. And they like to see everything detailed. They have this amazing check and balance system that always brings them back to truth, always brings them back to the Word. And they might get off base. Well, I don't understand how this can happen like this because that's just not typical, right? But if they operate in the Spirit, if you operate in the Spirit, they come back to that. Again, look at Luke 1:3 with me. And I want you to look at one word for a moment. Luke 1:3 says, "It seemed good to me having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first." Having perfect understanding of all things. That word perfect there, to be fair to Luke, doesn't mean what you think it does, right? It means to be complete. So let's read it again. Having had complete understanding of all things from the very first. And so what Luke is saying is I've carefully investigated. I've carefully looked at, and he gives us the truth so that we can build our lives upon that. For those of you who have been here on Wednesdays, we're going through the book of James. Remember, James 1:4 says, "But let patience have its perfect work. Let patience have its complete work in you, that you may be perfect, you may be complete, lacking nothing." I love, so when you look at verse 3 of Luke, he has perfect understanding. Number 5, a teacher is interested in the factual, verifiable basis of what people say or what people believe. Again, these are the people. Teachers are the people who will come up to the pastor after service. Where did you get that? Help me understand. Show me the verse. Where did the information come from, right? Show me in the Bible. How did you arrive at that conclusion? You know, let me tell you this. You have to have your facts straight before you walk into a group of teachers, right? You have to know what you're saying is true, because they will challenge you every step of the way. Luke said that others had written about the events that he's writing about in the book of Luke that had already taken place. And it says he examined the facts. He had put them together in an orderly presentation from the beginning. Number 6, a teacher emphasizes accuracy even in the smallest areas of life. A teacher really, to be blunt, doesn't necessarily care what you think sometimes, right? They necessarily don't care that you may mean well. What they want to know is what's the truth, what's the facts. 1 + 1 = 2. Don't tell me otherwise, right? They want to know the facts, and they want to know the facts, and they will ask questions to get to that point. A person who has that gift will get upset, tends to get upset, if a verse of Scripture is misrepresented. Because if a passage is misapplied when it's used out of context, they tend to recognize it. It's a red flag. They can't function. They have to respond immediately and say, "That's out of line." The teacher wants everything to be accurate and everything to be specific. Let's look at Luke chapter 4, verse 38. "Now he arose from the synagogue and entered Simon's house. But Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever, and they made request of him concerning her." So that may just seem like not much there, but when you read this account in the other Gospels, all you see is that Simon's wife's mother was sick. Luke is giving us details that nobody else is giving us. She's not just sick. She's sick with that high fever, right? And again, we look over things like that, but he's giving us details that nobody else does. Number 7, a teacher will spot details that others often fail to notice. A teacher will bring out details, they'll bring out facets, they'll bring out something in a situation that you didn't see. A teacher may open up the Bible for you and explain Scripture to you, and you're like, "Man, you've just illuminated that in a way that I've never seen before." That's the gifting of a teacher. You know, when we look at kind of our world and the way our world operates, it's always good to have a doctor or a lawyer with the spirit of teaching, the gifting spirit of teaching. Because they will research, they will study, they will chase down every avenue that other people may give up. So a doctor without that gift of teaching may say, "Well, the book says A plus B, you've got this wrong. And the doctor with the gift of teaching will dig deeper. They'll try to understand that, try to find the facts. And I love that we can see that gifting in other people's lives. We've talked about how this gifting of the Spirit, God gives everyone when they're born a spirit, right? He's given us all the Spirit. We saw that in Jeremiah. Not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes in when we're saved. But our spirit, God is gifting to all of us. So he's put those tendencies and those gifts in us even before we know him. You know, I love serving on teams with someone who has the gift of teaching. Because as you go through talking about a situation, they usually sit there and they're very quiet. And they're processing and they're thinking. And everybody else is talking, right? The exhorters are saying, this is the problem. You can do it. You can fix it, right? The servers say, let's get to work right now. And the people with the gift of mercy, they feel bad because the servers can't go work right now, right? But the teachers sit there and they're quiet until they're ready to speak. They're understanding every situation. And when they speak into your life, if it's in a meeting or if it's in a situation, what they say is always almost shot like an arrow to the very heart of what's happening. Here it is, step one, step two, step three. Now we can go home, quit wasting your time, right? Number eight, a teacher listens before giving their opinion. They're not impulsive, usually, right? Again, these are usuals. They weigh things out. They weigh out the facts. They carefully think through them before they do them. A lot of times, they can appear actually wiser than they really are because they don't say much. They're processing, right? The teacher sits back. They watch. They look. They listen. They're careful in their deliberation. And even though a teacher is a good listener, it doesn't mean they're going to offer you a whole lot of sympathy for a situation, right? Again, typically. If you have someone that has a gift of a teacher and you're telling them your need and you're saying, this is what it looks like, it's bad, it's awful, it's terrible, the teacher's going to listen. And they're going to analytically look at that situation outside of their emotion. They're not going to put a lot of emotion into it. And they make their decisions based on the facts, based on what God tells them to move forward with, based on the information that they've collected. And a lot of times the people who have that gift of teacher can be raised or they come up through, think about this for a moment, they may have been raised or they come up through a lot of difficult situations in their home or in their life, but you don't see emotional scars and you don't see trauma in their lives. And the reason is they have this gifting from God or this mechanism around their life. And that mechanism gives them the ability to collect, to gather, to organize, to assimilate all the information and process it with a clear head, right? And I think about people that I've worked with over the years who have this gift of teacher, and they come out of situations that most people would be like puddles of mush after they come out of the situations. They're not scarred. They're letting God and the processing that God gives them in their mind help them through that. They have that mechanism that allows them to be detached and almost insulated. Number nine, finally, the teacher can exhibit endurance, consistency, and usually self-discipline. They're like the Energizer Bunny, right? They just keep going and going and going. And they have an amazing amount of energy. They have an amazing amount of consistency. You can always count on the teacher. They don't have any problem normally with setting personal goals and sticking with those goals. They don't give up and quit easily. And when they're operating again in the power of Spirit of God, we'll talk about this in a moment, they're the most emotionally stable of all the gifts that we're going to talk about. They're very analytical. Everything is very reasoned out for them. And when you have a problem to solve, when you're going through trouble, when you have a conflict, and you need someone to come in and just give you a very objective opinion, a very matter-of-fact opinion, these are the people that you want, right? Because they're going to look at the facts and they're going to help you do that. And it makes me think when Paul was in prison, everybody abandoned Paul, right? Read the book of 2 Timothy. We went through that a few months ago. And I want you to look at what he wrote. He says in 2 Timothy 4:11, only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful for me in ministry. And prior to that, he's talking about all these people that have left. They're not consistent. They're not following through. Luke stayed consistent. So the challenges with the gift of a teacher, and we're almost done, the challenges with the teacher is that they're not always engaged sometimes because the mind or their heart is just working. And sometimes it appears that they can lack warmth. I know some very warm teachers, right? Emotionally warm teachers. But it can appear that they're not warm. And if a teacher is not careful, you can have this know-it-all attitude, right? If they're not careful, a teacher can come across as a smart aleck, especially if you have a teacher who's not dealt with the issue of pride in their life. They still have that pride rearing up. Look at all these books I have. Look what I know. You don't know much, right? They can be someone that you may not want to be around. Typically, a teacher wants to be around other teachers. They want to be around people with that same gift. But I want you to see this morning, I want you to understand this morning, that you can do all your research, you can use your gift of a teacher, you can do all of your digging, you can do all kinds of stuff, know everything that you need to know, but it doesn't mean a thing if you don't have love for other people. It doesn't mean a thing if you're not sharing the love of Christ with other people. I can give you all the facts and dump all the information of Scripture out to you, but if I'm not showing you love, it really doesn't mean much, does it? You cannot let your love for digging in the truth as a teacher overwhelm you and do away with loving other people. And that knowledge that you have doesn't amount to anything if you don't have someone to love and to share it with. Let me give you another challenge of the teacher. The teacher can get to the point when they're not careful, they can look down on other people. Well, I've got all these book smarts, I've got all this education, I've got all these degrees. You can look down on people who may have what we call horse sense or common sense and really be pretty wise, right? And a person with the gift of a teacher doesn't necessarily have to have 27 degrees, right, behind their name in order to be smart. A matter of fact, most of us know some of the most ignorant people in our lives have all kinds of dots and digits behind their name, right? They know a lot about one subject, but they don't know much about life in general. So don't look down on someone who just has common sense. Let's move on to the application of the gift. Remember, we quickly go through these. We already talked about them, but I just want to summarize that if a teacher is operating in the Spirit, these are the things that you're going to see in a teacher's in their life. And I'm going to whip through these really quick. So if you're writing notes, I apologize. You're not going to get them all. Number one is discipline. The teacher has a very routine of discipline. Number two is they're very thorough. We talked about how they love the information. They love to find the information. They're very thorough. Number three, they're reverent, right? They're reverent to knowledge. They're reverent to the Word of God. Number four is they're patient. Teachers usually don't get impatient. They know how to wait. They know how to be calm. Number five is dependable. You can always count on a teacher, right? They're going to be where they're supposed to be, doing what they're supposed to be doing. Number six is security. They're very secure in their relationship with God, and they're very secure in themselves. And number seven, if you've been here for a couple weeks, you know that this is always on them all, is joy, right? If we're using the gifts that God has given us, right, in the Spirit, we will have joy. It'll always be there. It doesn't matter if it's the gift of serving or the gift of prophecy or the gift of exhortation. If you're using that in the Spirit, God will give you joy. If you're here today and you're walking in the Spirit and you're a teacher, you should be exhibiting these behaviors. But as we abuse that gift, if we walk in the flesh and walk out of the Spirit, let me show you the characteristics of a teacher. Number one, they're self-indulgent. I'm walking in the flesh, all I care about is myself. All I care about is what I know, all I care about is me. They're very inconsistent. You can never count on a teacher who's walking in the flesh. They may or may not show up when they say they're going to show up. Number three, they're very disrespectful. I have the knowledge, you don't know what you're talking about, you're not right, it's wrong, you misspoke, I know it all, right? Very disrespectful. Number four is that they're impatient. Hurry up, let's get it done. I already know the answers. Why are you taking so long? If you're a teacher and you get impatient, you're probably working in the flesh. Number five is they're unreliable. Number six is they're anxious. They're nervous all the time. They're a nervous wreck all the time. And number seven, there is no joy. There's just frustration. And again, every time that we're working in the flesh and not in the Spirit, and we're trying to display what God has given us, if we're doing it in the flesh, it will bring us frustration. Amen? Let's finish up by looking at the advancement of the gift of teaching. Let me start with a caveat. Teaching can be tough. Amen? How many of you tried to teach? You may understand the knowledge. you may understand what you're trying to portray, you may understand what you're trying to share and teach other people, but it can be difficult to put that into digestible content. It can be difficult to say step one, step two, step three. It can be difficult to get to the point and ask yourself, are you getting this? You don't know how many times I'll stand up here to preach and I'll look at you and I'm like, are they getting any of this? And it's not because you're not paying attention. It's because, am I really saying A plus B equals C, right? Which is why it's so important for us to act out these gifts or use these gifts in the Spirit, right? We're exercising a gift. We're following the Spirit of God no matter what gifting we have. And again, if a teacher is getting frustrated, if an exhorter is getting frustrated, if a server is getting frustrated, if a Christian, a believer is getting frustrated and you're getting tired and you're getting anxious trying to work with God, then you might have to be careful and make sure that you're not walking in the flesh. The gift comes from God. It doesn't come from you. It doesn't come from a book you're reading. It comes from God. The ability to act on that gift and to display that gift comes from God. The strength to share that gift comes from God. All of that doesn't come from me and it doesn't come from you. Amen. It all comes from God, so we need to be in the Spirit when we're exhibiting the gifts of the Spirit. Again, if you are a teacher and you have this gift and you're walking in the Spirit, you will be dependable. You will have endurance. You will have consistency. You will have joy, and it will be there no matter what. You know, teaching in a way that we're talking about this gift, again, you can learn step 1 through 10 of changing the starter in your car. I'm sure there's more than 10 steps. And you can teach somebody that and not have the gift of teaching. But teaching, the supernatural gift of the Holy Spirit, teaching comes from God, and He'll enable you to do that. One without that gift, you can understand the Bible. Do you believe that? You don't need to be a teacher to understand the Word of God. All of you, most of you who are here are saved, right? And you can say, I recognize that God gave His life for me. I recognize that I was a sinner once lost. And I can look at the Word of God and I can see that plan of salvation and I can receive that into my heart. But man, don't tell me, help me, have me teach something to somebody else because I don't know how to do that, right? So you can understand the Word of God when you hear it, when you read it, but you may not be able to explain it in detail like a teacher can. And although teaching has to be developed just like anything else, the spiritual gift of teaching is not something that you can easily learn or acquire with a college degree, right? I can try to teach you how to teach, but there's just got to be something in you that wants to teach and know how to teach, amen? A person with a PhD, right, but without the gift of teaching will not be able to typically, and I'm not saying always, expound on the Bible as one can without a degree with the gift of teaching. Does that make sense? The spiritual gifts are given for building up the body of Christ. Some of you are arms, some of you are hands, some of you are eyes, some of you are ears. In Ephesians 4:11, Paul links the gift of teaching with pastors. And we're not talking about this list of gifts, but it's here, so I'm going to bring it up. And he gave himself, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. It doesn't necessarily suggest one gift, right? That pastors and teachers are the same thing. But it does seem to imply that a pastor is also a teacher. The Greek word for pastor, most of us know, is the word shepherd, right? Shepherd. A pastor is one who cares for his people in the same way a shepherd cares for his sheep. Just as a shepherd cares for his sheep, he feeds his sheep, right? He waters his sheep. He helps his sheep get to sleep at night, right? He takes care of his sheep's safety. And so just as a shepherd feeds his sheep, it's a pastor's responsibility to teach his people the spiritual food of the Word of God. Amen? And again, the church is built up. We grow as a church by using the gift of teaching. Again, I encourage you all to know the Word of God for yourself, to go home and read and study and apply the Word of God as you see it to your life. But we still want to come together, learn together, and grow together. So people listen to the Word of God, right? I want you to listen for a moment. Here's what it means. Or people listen to the Word of God from the pastor. They learn what it means, and they say, that's how I apply that to my life. I may be going through this challenge. How do I apply the Word to my life? God has raised people up with the gift of teacher and built people up in their faith to enable them to grow in wisdom and knowledge. We see in 2 Peter 3:18, we are all called to grow in the grace, grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to him be the glory now and forever. I don't grow in knowledge of Jesus so I can look better myself. I grow in the knowledge of Christ so I can bring glory to him. 30 seconds and I'll have you stand. To grow this gift of teaching, how do you do that, right? How do I grow the gift of teaching? First, just talk to God, right? If you think you're a teacher, ask God, man, help me develop this gift. Ask for opportunities to teach under the authority and the guidance of a gifted teacher. If you can find that it's easy for you to explain the meaning of Scripture and others understand that and you see it clicking in their head, you may have the gift of a teacher. Look to God, ask for opportunities to use and develop that gift. Now I'll have you stand. What could be better than any of us serving with the gifts that God has given us? Amen? That's our desire. I have people come to me all the time. I want to work for God. What should I do for God? How do I serve God? How can I live out what God is asking me to live out? I love watching people who have the gift of teaching. I love it. Who are really operating in it because they are great at teaching and they're great at exposition. And so today, if you're here and you have the gift of teaching, what I want you to understand is as if it's in this church, if it's on the street, if it's in your job, God has given you that gift for a purpose. Amen? God has gifted all of us for a purpose. God has brought us all here together this morning for a reason. You are here to be used by God. Amen? Let God use you. If you're here and you have that gift, there's always opportunity to share the gospel with other people, to share the word of God. And it's for his glory, not for your glory. And it's for the good of his people. And this morning, if you're here and you don't know Jesus, I want to give you that opportunity. Because you know what? You can have the spirit, your physical spirit inside of you that God has gifted you with. But without a relationship with Jesus, you can't use those gifts in the way that God intended. So as we close, if you need to know or want to know Jesus as your Savior, if you want to make a step in your life, like we saw Dylan and Victor make this morning, they've already given their life to Jesus. They've already had their heart changed from stone to flesh. God is already working in their heart, and they made that public proclamation in front of us this morning through baptism. If you want us to help explain that to you, feel free to come and talk to us after service. If you're struggling today with anything, if you're struggling with some addictions in your life, if you're struggling with whatever it may be, we're here to pray with you. We're here to encourage you. We have some people in this church, believe it or not, that have the gift of encouragement, right? Amen? God brought us all together to work as a body. Amen? So as we close, I'm going to pray. And if you would like prayer, if you'd like to talk to someone, please come forward. We'll pray with you. We'll talk with you. Monica's going to lead us into another worship song. Hang out and worship one more song with us, and then she will dismiss us after that. Amen? So, Lord God, we just thank you for your word this morning, and I know we're looking at such a small portion of your word as we look at these gifts. Lord, but as we talked about a few weeks ago, we're looking at and trying to understand for ourselves how God created each one of us. Lord, so that we can function appropriately in the body of Christ, so that we can grow and develop our body, Lord, into be a body that glorifies you and magnifies you. And so, Lord, I pray for each one that's here, Lord, as guests, or each one that's here, that's regularly here, Lord, that you just illuminate our hearts with your truth. Help us to have that desire today to go home and to spend time in your word for ourselves. Help us have that desire to go home and live a life of worship, knowing that when we go to work tomorrow and we do our job and we're working for a company, Lord, that we can do that with as an act of worship. Knowing that if we go home tonight and we raise our children and we're feeding our kids and we're cleaning our house, that we can do that as an act of worship. Lord, that all things that we do, it may not be lifting our hands and it may not be singing a song to you, Lord, but all can be done as an act of worship to you. And so, God, I thank you that you've created each one of us in your image. Lord, I thank you that you sent Jesus to die for us. Lord, we see over and over through Scripture how this world is declined and is declining. Lord, that we were all... We're kind of under this curse of Adam, Lord, that he sinned and sin was passed down to each of us. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And God, I thank you that you have given us the remedy of Jesus Christ, Lord, to cover those sins. Lord, I thank you that you've given us Jesus Christ to die for our sins. He took that punishment for each one that's here, each one that's online this morning, of our sin. Lord, so that we don't have to face that punishment. God, I thank you that, yes, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but Jesus did not sin. Jesus did not need to physically die because there was no sin in his life. Lord, but he gave his life as that sacrifice, that lamb of God for each one of us. His blood was shed. His body was broken, Lord, to bring us physical healing, spiritual healing, and salvation. And so, God, we thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you that Jesus is that reason that we're here today. We thank you, Lord, as we sang earlier, that we can speak that name of Jesus over things in our life, over addiction, over fear, over anxiety, over hopelessness. Lord, and all of that can be healed by that name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. So, God, we just glorify you today. We thank you for Jesus. Lord, I thank you again for Dylan. I thank you for Victor. I thank you that the work that you're doing in their lives has just begun. Lord, that you have so much for them to do for your kingdom. Again, not for their glory, but for your glory. Lord, I pray that they discover each gift that you've put inside of them, Lord, and they walk that out in their lives. Lord, that we see people brought to Christ, Lord, even through today and even through the decisions that they've made up till this point. Lord, I thank you for their families. I thank you for their friends. I thank you for those who are here. Lord, let you be glorified in it all. In Jesus' name, amen.